We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Here we go. We're back here with you, Chad Hartman, and from Purple Insider, Matthew Collar. Again, we're on video. If you want to check us out, at WCCO Radio. On Twitter, Facebook, Minnesota Farmers Union, and Farmers Kitchen and Bar, they bring you this fine appearance from Matthew Collar. Okay, Vikings bye week, 3-3. Is that what the record should be? When you look at the way they played the first six games, do they strike you as a 500 team?
They do. Yeah. I think that they had some bad luck early, some good luck later. They got some field goals that went in, like against Detroit. They won a coin flip against Carolina in a game that they really let slip through their fingers, that they outplayed Carolina by a lot. So that sort of evened out the fumble from Dalvin Cook and the missed kick from earlier on. And I think that they have not played a complete football game yet, that even in their most decided win against Seattle, the first half was pretty dicey, and then the second half they pulled away. That's kind of been the story of this team. I think if you took all the quarters and assigned a winner or a loser quarter, you'd probably end up with half in winning quarters and half in losing quarters for this team. And I think that that's not really great for projecting forward when you look at their upcoming schedule, because, you know, this part of the schedule was supposed to be the easier part. Now, I know Arizona's turned out to be a tougher team than we expected, but you're right there on the doorstep for those first couple of games, and you would have liked to have been going into the tough part of the schedule a little better than this. And now this is very much a prove it ground for this team. You make or break your season coming out of the bye week.
Most pleasant surprise about the first six games and the biggest disappointment over the first six games.
Yeah, I would say the biggest surprise and maybe the most pleasant one is Everson Griffin, that he signed at the very last moment. They were very clear that, look, Everson, you're going to be a role player. You're not going to be a starter for our team. And they were looking at him like maybe he could just help on pass rushing downs. And he's been phenomenal. He's been every bit the same old Everson Griffin, and he's kept them in some games with key sacks, strip sack against the Detroit Lions. That was big when the Lions were on their side of the field. And so having him back in the mix across from Danielle Hunter, who, by the way, would be your other bright spot. We didn't know what Danielle Hunter was going to be returning from his neck injury, and he has been one of the best pass rushers in the entire NFL. I would also say that clutch Kirk Cousins goes under the thing that maybe you didn't always expect, but every time he's been called upon to lead a big drive, he's been there to do it, and if not for a missed field goal, you know, at the end of the one, actually at the end of two of his game winning or potential game winning drives. So he's got more game winning drives than he even does wins this year for Kirk Cousins. I think that's been on the good side. On the disappointing side is the inconsistency of the offense, where for 2 weeks you wonder what is going on. And then in the first half of Carolina, they're struggling. And then they show what they can really be in the second half of Carolina, putting up these gigantic numbers. And we had seen that in spurts, the first half in Arizona, the second half in Seattle. But not being able to consistently do it with the talent that they have has been on the disappointing side. I also think that coaching has been a disappointment. Not so much scheme-wise for Mike Zimmer and his defense that has turned it around after a slow start, but I think that the aggressiveness or lack thereof and some of the first half at the end of the half struggles and some of the decisions that they've made to play it safe that have ultimately cost them in these first couple of weeks, I think that goes under the disappointing side.
Okay, let's not turn this fantasy, but let's stay with Cousins. Let's say smart executives were going to evaluate top quarterback play this year only and understand the strengths and the weaknesses they have. Where's Kirk Cousins right now off his performance at this point? I've always thought he was a slightly above average quarterback. I always thought, you know, if there's 32 teams, he's anywhere from 12 to 16. Is he higher than that, considering the way he's played this year?
I think he is higher than that, but I don't think he's way higher than that. I know that some people have talked about, oh, could Kirk Cousins be in the MVP conversation? And I think that if you're saying that, you probably haven't checked out some of the other quarterback play, including Dak Prescott, who the Vikings are going to see in 2 weeks on Sunday Night Football. I mean, I think there has been some spectacular quarterback play. And what we're seeing in the NFL is teams are now smarter about how much they pass, and that is reflected in the numbers. They're smarter about how aggressive they are on fourth downs and pushing it when they have any chance to maximize their points. I think that helps quarterback numbers. And then we've just seen an explosion of athletic quarterbacks in the league. So even when Cousins has good passing numbers, there are other guys who are running for 50 yards a game to tack on to what they've done. If you watch Josh Allen against Tennessee and his ability to just take the ball and run for 20 yards almost at any given time. So I would still put Cousins in probably like 10th. And there's still those moments where you go, what happened for that entire half or that entire quarter, or decisions that he makes, like throwing it backwards out of bounds against Carolina for a 7-yard loss. Like those things are still happening, even though I think overall he's played well. And also, this is also reflected in coaching decisions too, that Cousins is one of the most conservative quarterbacks in the entire NFL in terms of how far he pushes it down the field. I think this is an effort to keep him clean and not get pressured and sacked as much, but you have other teams that are throwing downfield much more often than the Vikings, and I think that would be a factor too when you're evaluating it. But has he been a very, very good version of Kirk Cousins? Yeah, I think he has.
Okay, let's talk about the running game for a little bit. Remind folks, Matthew Collar's with us, Purple Insider. Really a must-follow on Twitter to seek out Matthew himself, to look at Purple Insider, the way Matthew breaks down video, podcasts, interviews, game recaps. It's really worth it. A lot of stories out there, a lot of content. So reach out to Matthew through Purple Insider. Delvin Cook is a better running back than Alexander Mattison. I think we would all agree with that. But Mattison continually shows us that he's a very productive player. And it just seems like if Dalvin's available, he's going to get the ball 35 times. And he's going to put himself in jeopardy of injury. Or if Mattison plays, he's going to get the ball 35 times. I don't understand how, as an example last week, when Cook was pretty close to healthy, I don't think he was all the way back, why you can't see like Dalvin for 20 to 25 and Mattison for 10 to 15, and you just give Dalvin a better chance to be a factor throughout the season as opposed to just wearing him out, because this team still is dramatically different offensively without Cook. And now, you know, Mattison can really help you out. It's just, it's too extreme for me when you have not just a viable alternative, but an asset that you should still use.
No, you're right. And I think that what Alexander Mattison has shown in a couple of his starts is he's also very good at catching the ball. I mean, he caught a pass over the middle of the field, broke a couple of tackles, and went into the end zone. There were other instances where they used screen passes, and he found room and space and had big gains, especially against Seattle. I think he's a very good running back, and the difference between him and Dalvin Cook over their careers in terms of yards per carry is about 0.3. They also did something against Arizona that I liked and they haven't done since, which is put them both on the field at the same time, and they ran an end around with Dalvin Cook. It didn't turn into a big play, but I thought it was a great idea. Now, the other thing about the running game, though, is as successful as it is in terms of yards per carry, it's one of the top 10 yards per carry. It's funny because you look at their expected points added, which is just efficiency. I won't go into all the math, but the efficiency, and it's not very good. They're 28th in the league in terms of rushing efficiency, which tells me that they don't choose the best times to run. And I'll give you some examples. I mean, if it's second and 13 and you hand off and get 6 yards, you're still not that close to a first down. Or when they were driving against Carolina, they sort of checked up and ran a couple of times rather than trying to put the foot on the gas pedal and go score a touchdown. And then they kicked the field goal and Greg Joseph missed it. And I think this is one area where the Vikings are just falling behind, in part because they love Dalvin Cook so much, and they should. He's fantastic. But they lean on him, to your point, too heavily, to the point of reaching inconsistency. And that's not even to address his health, which has already been problematic this year and has pretty much been problematic for his entire time with the Vikings.
Okay, speaking of health, it kind of snuck by a few people, but it's very relevant that Patrick Peterson, late in the game last week against Carolina, gets injured. Hamstring, he's on the injured reserve, so he's out at least 3 games. Mike Zimmer's quote was, "I don't think we'll lose him for the entire season." Fairly ominous, considering the alternatives with Dantzler and Breland. Breland has not been very good. Dantzler's in and out of the doghouse on a regular basis. Peterson is not close to who he was in the teens when he was really one of the two or three best cornerbacks in the game. But consider the passing teams they're about to play, including the next game with Dallas. How big of a loss is Patrick Peterson?
I think that entirely depends on Cam Dantzler. And, you know, I know that some people want Dantzler to play over Bashaud Breland and they are ready to put a gold jacket on him. But I think you saw against Carolina that, you know, when push came to shove, Dantzler couldn't hold on to his man and gives up a huge play. And this happened on multiple occasions last year. He had some good games, but he also against Seattle gave up a huge play on fourth down and then the touchdown pass to DK Metcalf. And Julio Jones pushed him around. So he's a flawed player who really fell behind in training camp. You mentioned the doghouse. At one point, Chris Boyd was even playing over him in training camp in preseason. So it shows you that they have not really been sold on him at any point. And compare that to Patrick Peterson, who is an all-time great player and will have a gold jacket one day and still has a lot of the same savvy. He may not have the physical gifts that he had at one point in his career, but I was looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers, and I eliminated the 77-yard touchdown pass against Arizona because that was like three people's fault. They gave it to Peterson, but you could give it to a lot of people. Quarterbacks have an under 90 quarterback rating when targeting Patrick Peterson so far this year. I mean, he was playing well. He was playing solid. And if you don't get solid play out of Cam Dantzler, you get the inconsistent, oh, he made a great play on one play and then gave up a huge gain on another. They are facing some receivers here coming up that are just going to run all over them. Most notably, CeeDee Lamb, who has a case along with Justin Jefferson for best young wide receiver in the game.
Mm-hmm. Last thing and the most vital question to ask you, fill-in producer today, David Josephson, is trying to stay quiet because he's about to start eating his Cheez-Its. Cheez-Its, okay? There he is. You can hear in the background. Where would you rank Cheez-Its on the scale of this show? Overrated, properly rated, or underrated Cheez-Its?
Well, I'm a huge fan, big time on the Cheez-Its. I don't know how the rest of the universe views Cheez-Its, though, so it's hard to say, is it underrated, overrated? I have a better feeling for football things when it comes to this, but I will say that most people like Cheez-Its. They are properly rated and delicious, not super filling.
They're fine.
They stick with you. They're good.
They're fine. They're fine. Yeah, they're
properly rated.
They're fine. They're okay.
Not the best snack ever. So
what is the best snack ever? Best snack ever for Matthew Collin.
That's tough. I mean, is a chocolate chip cookie a snack?
Yes,
or is that just or is that like a different sweets category?
That's just it is, but it's still a snack.
Okay. Then I will take 3 chocolate chip cookies and a glass of milk is the best snack ever.
Are you 4? I mean, a glass, you know, a glass of milk with cookies is overrated.
I strongly disagree with you there.
Overrated.
So here's the thing. I don't need a lot of sugary stuff. So if I just eat a regular cookie without something to kind of counterbalance it, like milk, I'll just get like heartburn and don't feel too great. So I need the milk. And I think, it's an all-time combination.
Heartburn.
This is like Montana and Jerry Rice, milk and cookies. Come on.
In cereal, it's fine. Milk, unnecessary. Take that, milk producers. I got to go.
Thanks, Chad.
See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.